He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
I set foot on one film set and I was so stressed I never went back. I realised I'm allowed to live in New Zealand as an Australian citizen, and I am not joking. I just cannot deal with all the spiders and all that in Australia. I just can't deal with it anymore.
In today's episode, Vicky Ho tells Liz Garten how stress and spiders brought her to this point in her life, where she's picking the films that'll be shown in the Chinese and East Asian selection of the 2021 New Zealand International Film Festival.
Yeah, it's hard to explain to people because you would tell someone, so I do festival programming, and they say, so what do you have to do for that? And I said, I have to watch movies at home. And they're like, wait, you just sit around all day and watch movies and you get paid for that? And then I have to try and explain to them, well, I mean, I watch maybe 400 or 500 movies sometimes a year. And then they were like, oh, okay. Like, so it's not just eating popcorn and watching like Star Wars or something.
You must be a super organized person to be able to, A, watch that many movies, but then, you know, make a call on what other people will want to see and how it will fit and all those sorts of piecing together of a festival.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of personal taste involved and there's no objective way to say this is great and that isn't. But there is still, you know, you need some level of coherency to the program. And sometimes maybe, you know, one year you might get 10 really great films about a similar topic, but you know you can't show all 10. So you have to make a call on how to make that kind of balance and that kind of choice. It's hard to explain. It is a hard job to explain to people, but there's a level of skill there, I swear. Really.
It's not just watching movies.
No, there's a little bit more to it than that.
So are you then choosing films that represent a culture when you do that? Or is it more just, this is what's really interesting and fun coming from these areas?
I think it's a bit of both. I personally think it's more important, you know, for a film to be good. You know, sometimes there are films that are important, but maybe it's just not quite there. And you kind of feel like maybe I needed a stronger film to do both things justice. And sometimes it's just not quite there. And then I might say no to something like that. But, you know, first and foremost, it's a film festival. We want the audience to enjoy the experience. We want them to think about the films we've chosen. I think almost every film represents a part of their culture. I generally think a good film will show that anyway. Like, even if it's something very subtle about, you know, a specific culture, Japanese culture, Korean culture, you know, films might not set out to send a message about what that means, but a good film would be able to showcase something unique about their culture without, you know, being very, you know, sometimes they're explicit about it and it's great, and sometimes they don't need to be explicit about it. But it's the message comes across, I think. So when a lot of people think about Hong Kong films, they think about crime films and action films, which, you know, I think those are great films, but there's so much more to Hong Kong cinema. And what's interesting about the Hong Kong films we picked for this year is they showcased a culture and, you know, a segment of society that we just don't normally see in Hong Kong. One is a bit of a thriller action film, but, you know, it's also about the South Asian immigrants who live there. They almost never get showcased and they are a huge part of Hong Kong. And so I'm really glad that we get to see that this year. And someone made a film that specifically focused on, you know, the South Asian community there.
We'll circle back to Hong Kong and its filmmakers shortly, but that's where Vicky's story starts too.
I was born in Hong Kong, and then as a kid, I grew up in Australia. We moved there when in the early 90s or something. And I went to school there, did my uni there, always wanted to get into movies. And like, truly, when I was a kid, I just wanted to direct movies.
But that wasn't to be.
I set foot on one film set and I was so stressed I never went back. But yeah, I studied film theory and then history. And after I graduated, I ended up going back to Hong Kong for work. And just truly, it really was just meeting the right people. And then, just kind of falling into festival programming. I did not think that was something someone could do. A friend was just like, can you help out? And then next thing I know, she said, so here's the lesbian and gay film festival. Can you just take over because I have to move to Taiwan? And I was like, okay. I was 25 at the time, 26. And yeah, so that was kind of how my career as a programmer started.
Since then, Vicky's worked on festivals in Toronto, San Francisco, and Zurich, among others. And at the beginning of 2020, she found her way to New Zealand.
So I was last in Los Angeles, which I had a really good time. But, you know, living in America, there's a lot of stresses that are just comes with like day-to-day living. Like my health insurance is really expensive. I don't want to get sick because bills are, you know, I don't want to get charged like hundreds of dollars for treatment. It's these kind of little things that just add the stress on you. But yeah, my visa was running out. And so I thought about, you know, where I could go next. And I'm an Australian citizen. So I was deciding between, you know, should I go back to Australia? And then I realized I'm allowed to live in New Zealand as an Australian citizen. And I am not joking, Liz. I just cannot deal with all the spiders and all that in Australia. I just can't deal with it anymore. I'm terrified of insects. I don't love the heat. And I came here and you don't have scary creatures. It's really nice. I don't have to fear if there's a huntsman in my house every day. It's
great. I absolutely love that.
It's true. I'm not joking. Like, I wish I'm joking, but I'm not.
It's the scary creatures.
There's a lot of them in Australia. They're terrifying.
Having arrived in New Zealand just 10 days before the border closed in 2020, Vicky has spent the last 18 months settling in.
I live in Wellington, so getting to see the harbour every day is really lovely. I have to confess, like, I'm paranoid and I still get a little skittish travelling, even domestically, because even when there was no COVID, because I couldn't separate myself from that because so many of my friends were affected by COVID. And so even when we were fine, like, I think it took me months to see a movie inside because I was just nervous about it. It was just strange to be here and then there was COVID and then things were fine. But I was still very, you know, close to my friends who were very much not fine. It was a weird mental space to be in for a year and a half. But, you know, it's a global pandemic. Things, you know, a lot of things that we take for granted goes out the window when that happens.
Things like the Auckland leg of the festival having to be cancelled due to the lockdown. And because of distribution rights, they can't even move it online.
I'm devastated. We're devastated. Like, it's such a big blow. And the festival has worked so hard to try and make it happen. But obviously, you know, again, there's a global pandemic. There's only so much we can control and there's so much humans can control in the face of this.
But for those in Wellington, Christchurch, Dunedin and several other towns around the country that do have films playing, Vicky has some recommendations.
I'm really happy with all the films I programmed. There's a bit of everything. We have two Japanese films, but it's the same filmmaker, actually. Drive My Car and Wheel of Fortune and Fantasy. Drive My Car is actually Japan's selection for the Oscars this year. I am a huge fan of the Korean filmmaker Hong Sang-soo. I don't know if he's popular here. He's a bit of a cult figure, cult favorite in the festival circuit. And he directed a film called In Front of Your Face. It's hard to explain. If you know Hong Sang-soo, I will tell you there's a very good Hong Sang-soo. He kind of uses the same structure and his films are all very similar. That would be the only way to put it. And the joy of watching a Hong Sang-soo film is see what he does a little differently each time. It's a film about an older retired actress who was visiting her sister in Korea and they have a conversation and she takes a meeting. And that really is all that happens. But within that, there's just so much awkward conversation. There's so much being discussed about life and regret. And it's so good. I can't even express how much I love that movie. But if you want a more fun Korean film or more exciting, we have a really interesting thriller called Midnight, which is kind of, you know, more in the tradition of your Korean thriller, serial killers chasing a girl. But they kind of put a new twist in it. It's a first-time filmmaker. It's really impressive for a debut film, I think.
그거 건들면 너 죽는다.
And this brings us back to Hong Kong. As Vicky mentioned earlier, there are a couple of films from Hong Kong showing, and that's really important to her, particularly with the political upheaval going on there right now.
It's been difficult. It's been hard. Hong Kong, I truly don't know how much people know overseas about how bad it's gotten, to be honest. You know, obviously, we saw the protests 2 years ago, which we do have a documentary about called When the City Rises.
Fight for freedom! Stand with Hong Kong!
But there's a lot of things going on in the world. I understand that. But I'm not sure people knew about the crackdown on trade unions, student unions. Censorship in film has been brought in. You know, I think it's important people don't forget, because I think there are people in power who want people to forget history. They're removing, you know, in Hong Kong, they just removed the Pillar of Shame, which is a statue that's been at Hong Kong University for decades that commemorate the Tiananmen Square massacre, and the university just, you know, ordered them to take it away. I don't think these kind of things, like, I'm from Hong Kong, so I know about it, but I don't think internationally a lot of people understand how bad things are getting there. You know, it's important to support the arts and the filmmakers while, you know, they are able to make films. We truly don't know how much longer this will be allowed, to be honest.
You really think that is that's a real fear for you?
Oh, absolutely. There is a film that just, it's a film by some young filmmakers that is playing in the Golden Horse Film Festival. I just saw a trailer 2 days ago, and but the final title card in the trailer is that this will not be shown in Hong Kong, because they know they can't. That's where Hong Kong is at right now, which is a tragedy, really, because there's just so much talent there. There's so many great filmmakers. And I hope I'm wrong. I really do hope, like, the best thing that can happen is I'm wrong. But yes, I am. I have a lot of fear about that.
到底我留低有咩意義啊？純粹見證啊，定仲有我嘅價值咧？
When she's not programming festivals, Vicky creates board games with friends she met at NYU, where she did a master's degree in technology and art.
I love games, so we decided to try and do something. And we ended up making a game called Battle of the Boy Bands. It's a very simple card game where you pick a team of boys, and then there are events you could compete in. So some are like, aliens are coming to Earth, so they can't understand us, so all the dancers have to communicate really well so they don't kill us all. It's a very silly, tongue-in-cheek game.
How did you come up with the idea of a boy band?
Of a boy band? We like boy bands. I mean, my friend, my designing partner, loves K-pop, and I was more old school, like, you know, back in the day, like, I like NSYNC, but we just one day had an idea. So, what if we make a boy bands game? And we're like, yes, let's go, let's do it. And it's fun. Like, it was really fun again in the before times where we could go to gaming conventions and, yeah, like playing the game with people. And, you know, people at first get a little bit, especially a lot of like older men who are like, boy band, I don't want to play a game about boy bands. But then they get really into it and they get really competitive.
Unfortunately, Battle of the Boy Bands isn't available in New Zealand yet. But as long as you're not locked down, you can get along to the film festival. It opens in Christchurch on the 29th of October, Wellington on the 4th of November, and throughout other regions from the 5th. The programme is out today.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Voices, produced by Liz Garten and engineered by Flo Wilson. The executive editor is Tim Watkin, and I'm Kadambri Raghukumar. Check out this episode and many more great stories on the RNZ website, rnz.co.nz. All our podcasts are also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Basically, wherever you find your podcasts.